I wonder what you think about when you hear the word mission. What do you feel like when you're considered to be a missionary? Just give you a moment to think about that. I want to tell you a story about some everyday people engaged in everyday mission. It's a story that comes from the Eden Caravan Park last January, where 42 people gathered, lived in the caravan park. They were aged between 2 and about 65, and they did life together in the caravan park, eating, praying, reading the Bible, celebrating, washing dishes, probably washing clothes, looking after children. But their purpose was to be a missional community, living and sharing their lives with other campers. They sponsored community events like a New Year's Eve family party and a barbecue and a challenge show. They ran soccer games and played games with kids. They did kids' craft. They set up a space where teenagers could hang out and people played pool and Xbox and chilled. This team of people got to know people. They shared Bible stories. They shared meals. They prayed with people. They gave out chocolates. They listened to other people's stories and they shared their stories. After about a week, two teenagers who were about 15 years old, who had spent most of the week living with the team, at the end of this time, they, as the team was heading home, these two teenagers said to some of the team members, "This has been the best experience of family that we've ever had, and we want to be Christians like you." And they were local lads, so they were able to be connected in with a local church. That is like a concentrated form of everyday mission. Ordinary people doing life, sharing their lives with others so that people see God and want to become followers of Jesus. This is a Scripture Union mission team, and I have the privilege of working with Scripture Union and get to train and think about mission and read the Bible with that in mind. And over these last few years, I've been learning some things that I'd like to share with you, liberating truths, I call them, about mission. The first one is this: mission is God's business. It's God's mission. 1 Peter says, "God has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." By the way, I'm using 1 Peter as our Bible reference today because for those of us who've been here over the last few weeks, we've been studying 1 Peter together and it'll be familiar to us because the whole Bible is a story of God's mission. God actually... Can you put the sermon slide back on? The Bible is a story of God's mission. He created the world good, and then human disobedience meant that the whole of the world was infected, was broken. But God didn't give up on his creation. What he did was he chose to get involved, to restore God's world. His mission was to make everything right, to put everything right in the end. And this is God's mission. And at the heart of his mission, he's forming a community of people who will live under his rule and show the world what his rule looks like. So he called Abraham and he said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you so that the whole of the world through you can be blessed." Abraham, Moses, the people of the Old Testament prophets were all part of God's mission. God sent his son Jesus to do what Israel was not able to do. That is, to show us really what God's rule looks like. And God's rule looks something like this. It looks like forgiveness. God's rule looks like healing and hope. God's rule looks like servant-heartedness and generosity. God's heart looks like people being made whole, people living at peace with one another. God's rule is where evil is banished. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, God launches his new creation. This is where death is finally defeated. And in Jesus' resurrection life, we see the down payment that God has promised that in the end, he will make everything right. And we see this in the end of the Bible narrative, where we have a picture of a city where God once again lives amongst his people. The creation is put right. There's no more war. There's no more crying. There's no more tears. Jesus reigns as the rightful king. This is what God's mission is. It's God putting the world back to right for it to be as it was made to be. And people are at the heart of God's mission. And it's God who takes the initiative in bringing people back into become more fully human, to be the people that they were made to be. So God's about the business of taking people who don't think they're good enough for God and calling them his children. God's in the business of taking people who know that they are poor in spirit and giving them his spirit. God's in the business of taking people who are dying in their self-centeredness and giving them Jesus' new life. God takes people whose treasure is their job or their health or their house or their family, their comfort or their gold, and he gives them himself, which is a treasure more valuable than gold. God gives people now an experience of what his rule will look like, an experience of becoming fully human now, of people having life to the full. This is God's mission. And so he's the one who takes people to know him, to know his love for them. About 10 years ago, I started praying for one of my next door neighbours because he was ill. And he was the person who was the financial supplier for his family, his wife and his two children. So I prayed that he would be healed. And he was. But along the road, there were other people involved in his life. There was a person who invited him to a men's dinner. There was a school chaplain who invited him to a men's shed. I kept praying for him, not just that he would be healed, but that he would come to know Jesus, that he would cry out to him for his help. And about 2 years ago, he told me that he'd given his life to God. God had been at work in his life for many, many years. God's like that. He keeps pursuing us because he wants people to know him, to have life to the full. This is God's mission. He's all over it. It's his world. He's sovereign. It's so tempting to think that mission's about us and what we've got to do, but actually, it's about God. So that's the first liberating truth that I've discovered. And a second is this, that God chooses to work in his mission with his people. Peter says, reminds us, you are a chosen people. Your purpose is to announce the virtuous deeds of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. So in God's mission, he's creating a people whose very purpose is to point others to God. It is tempting to think that God calls us to know him so that we can be blessed. It's tempting to think that God's thinking just about us so that we can know forgiveness, so that we're okay with God. But God never just blesses people. He always blesses so that we can be a blessing to others. Because this is what God is like. He is other-centered and he wants us to be like him. Peter tells us, abstain from sinful desires. There are lots of those that we have, but I want to focus on one, and that is our self-centeredness. Our natural desire actually is to look out for ourselves. It's actually tempting for us to meet together here on Sundays so that we'll be encouraged. And that's true. But not just to be encouraged so that we can be blessed and be a blessing to others. In Isaiah, God puts it like this. He says to his people, it is too small a thing for you just to be my people. I will also make you a light for the nations. God calls us and blesses us so that we can be part of his mission. That's the second liberating truth. The third liberating truth that I have discovered is this, that where God calls, he equips. Do you think God would invite us to be involved in his mission and then leave it up to us? Well, not likely. Peter reminds us, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others and to do so with the strength that God provides. So if God's going to call us, he's going to equip us to be involved in his mission. So we ask, what gifts has he given us here? Who has God put in our community? What opportunities has God given to us to connect with people in our community? These are all questions about God, not about us. Ian and Sam, two young men from our St. Alfred's community, 5 years ago came back from Nepal with basic Nepali. They were able to speak Nepali. And it was about then that Tanya, who's a member of this congregation, discovered that there were a number of Nepali-speaking people living in our community. So, two Nepali-speaking members of St. Alfred's, is God's gift to us to use in his mission in our community. And since then, there have been a group of people connecting with those people in Nunawading. What other gifts has God given us here at St. Alfred's? And what gifts can we use to be part of his mission in our community? God gives us gifts to be part of his mission. The fourth liberating truth that I've come to understand is that mission is always the work of God's people together. Nowhere in the Bible is mission about an individual. It's always plural. So it's you plural, we, us, the people of God together. I think that's a fantastically liberating idea. So that means that I don't have to be an evangelist and good at hospitality and able to work with children and teenagers and I don't. I'm able to bring to the community the gifts that God has given me. This is one of the great strengths of the Eden Mission group that I told you about before. It was a multi-generational team. They were intentionally sharing life together. Everyone on the team had a role to play. The 10-year-olds could make friends with the other kids in the caravan park. There were people who were extroverts and they got to know everybody in the caravan park. There were introverts who prayed. There were people who were good at running kids' programs. There were musicians. There were people who could, believe it or not, hang out with teenagers for hours playing cards. There were prayers. There were evangelists. There were cooks who were prepared to make extra meals so they could invite others to dinner. There were musicians. And there were parents who were primarily looking after their little kids, and even that was part of the mission because people were looking on and watching how they did family life. Everything in the team was telling and showing God's good news in Jesus. And it's like that with the GB team, I didn't say it, that we're here next week. Some people are cooks, some people are telling Bible stories. Everybody is bringing a different gift. Together, we're engaged in mission. I'm a single adult, and for a number of years I've been wondering how I could do mission on my own. I just can't. I do have some gifts, but I don't have everything. I'm not good at hospitality and a whole lot of other things. But this year, I joined a growth group here at St Alfred's, the Burnt Street Gospel Community, we call ourselves, because the people in it want to intentionally be a missional community in our community. And recently, while the church was studying 1 Peter, we did that through a mission lens. We pray for the people we know in Burnt Street and we pray for our neighbours. People in the group bring different gifts. Some help children with homework. Someone's actually helped a man get good advice about building a house. Elspeth tells Bible stories. We drive children to GFS and Boys Zone and next week to Going Bananas. And people in the group open up their homes for hospitality. We all look for opportunities to talk about Jesus with our neighbours. And I feel really empowered to be engaged in mission because I'm part of this group. I work full time, I don't have a lot of time, but I'm really encouraged when we talk about mission and practice it together. We've actually been reading this book, Everyday Church, by Tim Chester, which is based on 1 Peter. And here's a great quote, goes something like this. One Christian on their own can easily be dismissed as being a bit eccentric, but a diverse group of Christians living for Christ as a community is a powerful demonstration of God's new life at work. God's mission is the role of God's people together. And we all have a role to play in that. If we're going to be involved in God's mission, then we need to be using God's methods. And the first one is this, using Jesus as our model. We need to live Jesus-shaped lives in our community. In Jesus, God came to earth. He took on our culture. He took on our space. He became like us as a servant so that we could know God. He showed us what it was like to live fully human. And in the same way as God's people, we are called to live in our community amongst people, taking on their culture, being able to speak their language so that we can share something of who God is with them, so that they can see something of who God is in our lives. Peter says, live such good lives amongst the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God when Jesus returns. As Christians ourselves, we need to see Jesus in order to know what God is like. And people who don't know God need to see Christians living together in order to see what God is like. People do look at us and potentially see who Jesus is in us. My next door neighbour has two sons, and he took them to Auskick, where he saw a father who stood out. And he said to me, I want to be like this guy. I want to be a dad like him. He's just so impressive. And in my neighbour's exploration of God, he said, I came to your church one Sunday morning, sat down the back, and he said, and I looked around, and that dad was at St. Alfred's. He was a Christian, and I wanted to be like him. And the two teenagers from the Eden Mission became Christians last summer because they were living and involved, welcomed into a community that was the best family they'd ever been part of, and they wanted to continue to be part of it. People do look at our lives and see Jesus. So we should consciously live Jesus-shaped lives. And we should also speak about Jesus. God is a speaking God. He uses words. Do you notice that when Jesus healed someone, he spoke about what he was doing as well? When he healed the paralyzed man, he spoke with him about forgiveness. When he fed the hungry, he talked with people about him being the bread of life. Actions without words are ambiguous. So as people engaged in God's mission, we need to be speaking about Jesus as well as living Jesus-shaped lives. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And he also says, speak as one who speaks the very words of God. When my next door neighbour's life fell apart, he came to me and he said that he'd been watching me these last few years. That was scary. And then he asked me how I had managed to live my life as a single parent. It would have been really easy for me to have said something like this, well, I'm part of a church, and which gives me a caring community. Now, that's true. That really is true. But the key to my survival was not just my friends and my community, but God. And so I was able to say to my neighbour something like this. I'm not alone in this. Jesus is here with me. I talk with him about my struggles and he gives me strength. The conversation went on much longer than that. And we had the opportunity to talk some more later. But subsequently he told me that he had given his life to God. We're given lots of opportunities to speak about Jesus, but often we don't pick them up. We don't speak because we're actually afraid. We're afraid of what other people will think of us. I was telling one of my neighbours that my daughter Emma is about to go to the UK to be part of a church planting team, living on a housing estate. And you might think, well, that's pretty good, but actually it was really safe language. When Emma talks about it with other people, she says, I'm going to learn how to tell people about Jesus more effectively. I didn't use the word Jesus. Why? Because I see my next door neighbour nearly every day. And I'm afraid that if I start talking about Jesus, she might think I'm a religious fanatic or something. But then I read in 1 Peter when we were studying it, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of God rests on you. So I was thinking, imagine, Mavis, just imagine, have this picture, the Spirit of God is resting on your shoulder, not the fear of man or woman, anyone, fear of people. God's methods involve us living Jesus-shaped lives and speaking about Jesus with people in our community. Well, what does everyday mission look like for us? It means living intentionally as a missionary. It probably doesn't mean adding anything extra to your life. Let me reassure you that, because your life's busy if it's anything like mine. However, it may mean that you need to change how you think about yourself as being a missionary every day, engaged in God's mission, in God's strength. Here are some practical suggestions. First one, form a missional community. Now, that missional community might be your family. It might be your growth group, or it might be other Christians in your street. And hear God say this to you, to us. It is too small a thing for you just to be looking out for one another. I want you to be missionaries in your community. Practice speaking the gospel to each other in your small group, in your family, so that when the opportunity comes, you won't muff it. I know this woman who had a very unusual disease. She was a Christian. She and her husband invited their next door neighbours to a barbecue at their house so that they could get to know them. And in the doing of that, she discovered that one of the women in her street also had this same rare disease. And this woman asked her, how have you found living with this in your life? And the Christian lady said, I just muddle along. And then she realised there was an opportunity. I could have spoken about Jesus. There's an opportunity for us all, I think, many times to actually talk about what difference it means to us to be a Christian. What difference it, being a follower of Jesus, makes in our lives. And we need to practice it so that when the opportunity comes, we won't say, I just muddle along. Thirdly, be intentional in your prayers. Praying for people to come to know Jesus. Pray for the people in your community. Pray for your neighbours, your colleagues, your family members. Pray for them to come to know Jesus, not just that they will be healed, not just that they will get a job. Those things are really important. But the deeper issue is for them to have a full life. And here's another one. Add an unbeliever to the things that you already do. If you've got a dog, walking your dog, invite your neighbour to walk with you. If you're one of those crazy people who gets up at 6 o'clock to ride your bike on Sunday mornings, do it with some other people. If you jog after work, invite some of your work colleagues to come along with you. If you're going to be watching TV, watching football on TV, invite your neighbour to come and watch it with you. You'll be doing it anyway. Here's another one. Invite your neighbour's children to come to Going Bananas or to GFS or to Boyzone. Offer to take them. Then invite the parents for a barbecue and talk with them about what the children have been doing. There's some practical suggestions of what everyday mission could look like. Everyday mission is God's mission. It's about Him equipping His people. That's us. to be involved in our communities using God's methods. Lord God, we do thank you that you are a missional God. We thank you that that you delight in people knowing what it means for them to be fully human, that you delight in your world being lived the way that you've made it to be. And we look forward to that being completed when Jesus returns. And as your people gathered together, we're often frightened to be engaged in your mission. Please remind us that this is something that you do, that you equip your people. Help us to live such good lives amongst our communities that our lives will point others to you. Please give us opportunities to speak of you with others. And we pray that you will constantly be taking us away from thinking that about our life with you is just being about us. Remind us, Lord, that it's too small a thing for us to be just to be your people, but that you call us to be your missionaries. And we ask this so that your name might be honoured and glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.